Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about instrumental music in worship to God. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. One of the things that sets the Lord's Church apart from most churches of men has to do with the music that is used in worship. Most other churches use instruments in their music for worship. Faithful brethren have rightly opposed this for years. The practice, however, is certainly not going away. There seems to be more and more in the church, even, who see nothing wrong with the use of instruments in worship. Every so often, it is necessary to remind brethren why we do not use instruments. To stop teaching on a topic can eventually lead to apostasy. So let us briefly examine why we do not use instrumental music in worship to God. Before we begin this study, though, I believe another point needs to be made. The issue of instrumental music in worship is important, as we're going to see. But there is a much larger issue that is at the heart of this, and it has to do with Bible authority. What has God authorized us to do? It is important to understand the issue over instrumental music, not just for this one issue, but because the principles that we use to determine God's will on this topic are what we need to use to determine God's will in so many of the things that we do. So with that in mind, let us consider this topic of instrumental music in worship to God. First issue we need to consider is that of the silence of the Scriptures. There's disagreement in the religious world over the silence of the Scriptures. The question is whether it authorizes or prohibits. Many believe that God's silence is permissive, meaning that as long as there is not a specific prohibition against something, then it is acceptable. Those who believe this argue that since there is no specific prohibition against using instrumental music in worship, then we are free to use these instruments. The Hebrew writer, however, shows us the correct hermeneutic approach. In making the point that the law had to change in order for Jesus to be our high priest, he argued from the silence of the Scriptures. Notice Hebrews 7:11-14. It says, "Now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests." The point that he was making there was that under the Old Testament system, under the old law, the priest came from the tribe of Levi. The Hebrew writer is making the point that Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek rather than the order of Aaron, or the Levitical priesthood. If he was going to come as a priest, the law that specified that the priest would come from the tribe of Levi had to change. Jesus could not be a priest under the old law, but why not? The law did not specifically say that priests could not come from the tribe of Judah, which is the tribe that Jesus descended from. But by saying nothing about it, by that silence, it was prohibited. Moses spoke nothing concerning priests from the tribe of Judah, therefore he could not be a priest. It is important to note that this rule could not even be bent so as to allow the Son of God to be priest. When God specifies something, everything else is excluded. When the tribe of Levi was specified as the tribe from which priests were to come, every other tribe was automatically excluded, even without a specific prohibition. In the New Testament, the only music we read of the early church using, the early Christians using, was singing, vocal music. Instrumental music, because it is not mentioned, is automatically excluded. It is unauthorized. The next thing we need to understand is the proper use of the Old Testament. Sometimes people will point out the use of instruments in the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms, and say that since God allowed them then, he will allow them today. They also sometimes point out that we are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as it says in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. And since instruments were used in the psalms, we can use them as well. Well, instruments were certainly used under the old law. One passage that shows this, and even shows that it was instructed, was in Psalm 150. Verses 3 through 5 of that psalm, it says, "Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with harp and lyre, praise him with timbrel and dancing, praise him with stringed instruments and pipe, praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals." Instruments were used here and many use this as justification for using them today. Notice, though, that this passage also mentions dancing, but no one, at least no one yet maybe, seems to be trying to bring that into worship. But no one wants to carry over the whole old law, but they want to bring small parts of it into the gospel and what we do in the church today. Colossians 2:14, though, tells us the old law has been nailed to the cross. It has been replaced with the new covenant, with the gospel. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 13, quoted from Jeremiah 31 through 34 to show that this was the case, that the old covenant, the old law, has been taken out of the way and has been replaced with the new law. Therefore, we cannot go to the Old Testament for our law or our authority for a practice. If we want to show that something is authorized, like instrumental music, we must use the New Testament to demonstrate it. The next thing we need to discuss is the context of the verses that are often used to supposedly support instrumental music and worship. Some will say we do have authority in the New Testament for instrumental music, but often they will cite the passages from the book of Revelation that speak of instruments in heaven and say that since there are instruments in heaven, that we can have them in the church today. Of course, when we look at the book of Revelation, we also see a book that talks about angels, a sea of glass, and four living creatures with six wings and full of eyes, and we don't have any of those things in the church today. We need to keep in mind the context of the passages that we study. The book of Revelation is a highly symbolic book. In the passages that mention certain ones holding harps, there is no mention of them ever playing those harps. Notice Revelation 5, verse 8. It says, "When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Also, Revelation 15:2, it says, "I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God." We see them holding the harps. We don't see them ever playing the harps. Also, there's the mention of the sound of harpists playing on their harps in Revelation 14:2. But this is not talking about playing harps. It's not talking about instruments at all. Instead, that is used to describe the beautiful sound of the voice of those who sang the new song in Revelation 14:2 and 3. Not describing instrumental music, but describing the sound of the singing that was done. When we look at Bible passages, we need to respect the context as we study them. Those passages, even in the book of Revelation, that appear to have harps being used, they're not talking about harps being used in worship to God. They do not authorize the use of instruments in worship. The final thing we need to consider is the need to act by Christ's authority. Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 3:17 that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This means that we must do things that have been authorized by Christ in his word. We cannot simply claim that something is in the name of the Lord and that it automatically be allowed. Jesus spoke of some who would do things in his name, but would be condemned because what they were doing was actually lawlessness. In Matthew 7:21 through 23, notice what Jesus says. He says that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Instrumental music is common in religion. Those who use it claim to be praising God while they play those instruments. But because they have no authority in the New Testament for using instruments in worship, then to use them is to be engaged in lawlessness. That's what Jesus was talking about in that passage. You have certain ones who were doing things for the Lord. In that passage, he mentions prophesying in his name, casting out demons in his name, performing miracles in his name. They were claiming to do things for Jesus. But what they were actually doing was lawlessness, things that they had no authority for, that they had no law for. Instrumental music is under the same category when it is used in worship to God. God has specified singing as the music that we are to use as we worship Him. We need to be content with what God has authorized and praise Him in a way that will please Him. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about the problem of not getting anything out of the assembly. Until then, I hope you have a great week.